Welcome to Better Cybersecurity, the ISF podcast. I'm your host, Steve Durbin.
ISF Chief Executive Steve Durbin is an expert in leadership, business culture transformation, and cyber strategies for today's top enterprises. I'm producer Tavia Gilbert. In today's episode, Steve sits down with John Jock Brokus, a former military member who is now an executive mentor and strategic intuitive intelligence advisor to the C-suite. Jock is far from your typical cyber professional, but his experience working with executives gives him a compelling perspective on challenges faced in our industry. Steve and Jock discuss how we can train ourselves to block out the noise and become better at recognizing the real threats to our business, the value of mindfulness and managing stress, and why leaders must see the big picture. Jock also shares his thoughts on deepfakes from the perspective of a medium.
In the world of information security, we spend billions on firewalls, encryption, zero trust architecture, but every CISO knows the most unpredictable element isn't any of that, it's the human in the mix. My guest today operates really at the bleeding edge of that. Jock Brokus is a former military professional. He's a lifelong martial artist, an author. A particular favorite of mine is the Book of the Six Rings. And he's also a world-renowned evidential medium. Now, for those of you listening to my podcast who listen on a regular basis, I know that you're going to be sitting there thinking to yourself, what on earth is Steve doing talking to Jock? But even though those worlds may seem miles apart, in this ever-changing, fast-moving, volatile environment, Jock's expertise in adversarial intent, intuitive processing, and the psychology of deception is really going to give us some insights into the vulnerabilities that we're facing. And today, we're going to be talking about threat intelligence. We're going to be talking about how to maintain something of a warrior mindset in an industry that is defined by burnout. And of course, we'll be touching on security. Jock, great to have you on the program. Welcome.
I'm excited to be here and have a conversation with you, Steve.
Let's start with the spiritual warrior. I mentioned that I was very keen on the Six Rings book that you've written a little while ago now. But in your spiritual warrior philosophy, you focus on reading an aggressor's intent before they actually strike. Now, in the cyber world, we call that pre-attack indicators. So tell me, how do you think security teams can train themselves to sense the intent of, say, a social engineer before the technical exploit even begins?
Steve, I think it's important for a security professional in your field, especially in the cyber field, to understand the difference between logic and intuition. I'm not a cyber expert, but in the cyber world, I guess that logic is very sequential, it's very analytical, it's looking for evidence. Whereas in intuition, we're looking for pattern, it's non-linear, it's a complex system. In the cyber world, they're looking at systems. They're looking at logic. It's almost predictable. It's going in a linear form. Whereas intuition is understanding and discerning the pattern and to understand that it's not separate. Logic and intuition is not separate. And this is the biggest mistake we make. We don't fail in making decisions, especially maybe in the cyber world, because of the amount of data we have. We fail at the discernment of maybe that data. And so understanding the intuition as part of the logic and blending both of them together, that makes it more of a kind of warrior mindset.
And tell us a little bit more about how you can bring that to life, if you like, because you've mentioned the fact that there's so much data. Absolutely. We're inundated with data. And probably I would say verging on over-reliance to some of the AI space. And so perhaps losing or not losing, but leaving behind some of the human intuition. How can we get that blend right?
I want to kind of step away from the whole kind of new age ideas and philosophy. And you mentioned me being an evidential medium and taking away this whole clairvoyance aspect of things. I want to get back into the real world. So where I like to look at it is understanding what we sense, what we hear, what we feel, and getting back to understanding who we are, because the problem is, in the world that we live in, it's very fast-paced. We're under so much cognitive load constantly. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it, but AI and everything else is getting out there, it's not making us more intelligent. It's actually making us less intelligent. We get more disconnected from, if you like, the self. And so we kind of lose that connection. So losing that disconnection from what's reality and understanding that we have to start to discern how we feel. We have to think, you know, if I look at how we see, sense, and feel, feeling right. something could be, as I would say, a clairsentient feeling. I don't want to go into the whole New Age side of things of clairvoyance, but what we see or what we hear, we need to start understanding as well. And I love some of the conversations that you've had on your podcast with scientists where we talk about the brain. But I want to get people to understand that the brain is not the be-all and end-all of everything. Start to think of the brain as a receiver. It transmits right. and it receives. Let's actually get back to understanding what the mind is. Because this is my opinion. I see the mind as separate from the brain. And the problem is that we focus on the biological and we don't understand that the brain, to me, is an expression of the mind. It only exists because the mind allows it. And if you go back to warrior traditions like the samurai, like the ninja, and all martial arts, they talk about one mind. They talk about this complex system. And this is what we've missed. We've come into a logical system and we're not looking at a complex system. The logical system is working on the brain. It's working on reasoning. It's working on being analytical. But we need to start looking at everything as a complex system and understanding that we need to get back to understand what the brain and the mind is. The brain is an expression, the way I see it, of the mind. The mind is a psychological building blocks of reality. And the way that I can understand that for people that are out there, especially cyber professionals, if you're at your computer, your radio, the easiest way that I can explain it, if you're a military guy, you're out in the field, there's a signal and there's noise. And right. signals coming in, we receive it in the radio or we receive it through the net or receive it through our computer setup, whatever we've got out there. Now, just because something's broken, does it mean the signal doesn't exist? If the radio's broken, signal is still there. Mm-hmm. So we need to start getting to understand the difference between signal and noise. And taking that into a cyber professional's world, that actually gets them to understand that their mind is more powerful and that they can actually understand the mind and the concept of the mind and the work that they do, and maybe understand the difference between that signal and the noise. Signal right. is what they're feeling, seeing. It's the noise is the logic. The noise is everything that's around and the cognition that we have, the immense amount of load that we're having on there. We have to understand the signal and then we can discern between them. And we have to get back to also as well, I guess, trying to take time for the self, for the individual. Because if they're constantly on the go, if they're constantly working in logic, if they're constantly working and not taking time for themselves, not thinking or breathing or actually going beyond what they see in a linear form, that's the important thing, is to understand the patterns. What is the difference between the signal and the noise? That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And a lot of that obviously comes with experience.
Absolutely.
Being in there in the moment, doing it. But some of it as well, I suppose, is about having what I would describe as something of a curious mind, yeah. not just accepting things at face value. And I think one of the concerns that I have, because we're drowning in data, is to the point you were just making, you know, we shut off all of that intuition because we become so heavily focused on the data, and the data doesn't lie. Sadly, of course, the data can, particularly if it's wrong.
Yeah,
and so,
exactly.
There's this huge role that I think we need to get back to actually in cyber, which is that the person, the individual, for him or her to be effective, needs to be working in tune with their own mindset and the data, not reliant on either one or the other. Would that sort of summarize where you're coming from on it?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because if relying on the data, they start to actually make decisions based on the data. But we know that the data can be wrong. Just as a simple example, if I look at using AI in some form and that AI spits something out at me and I feel, wait a minute, that doesn't feel right. This is what I mean. So this is feeling. Then I need to dig deeper. I've discerned then that that's not right. I need to go deeper to then blend the intuition, the signal, the discernment, the awareness, the signal, the discernment. It's like an intelligence cycle. We're planning, collection, processing, assessing, dissemination. Bring that into intuitive analysis. Use the same idea with the cycle, bring it into intuitive analysis, and don't rely on the data. Then look at what the signal is, then look at the data, which is the noise. Does the evidence match up? Is the narrative, does it link? Is it interconnected? The problem is we miss the interconnection and they make decisions based on the data, and then the data fails because the evidence is wrong.
It's one of the reasons as well, Jock, why I'm always championing bringing people into the security field whose backgrounds are not in the technical world. Yeah. So from the arts, for instance, from completely outside it, because the way their mind works is very different from somebody who's perhaps grown up in the scientific world and then moved into security, probably via IT and so on. So the blend is something that I'm always encouraging security groups to look for, to get that balance, to get that challenge.
Yeah, and I think it's important as well that looking at a more spiritual outlook to things, not religious in any way, a meditative or a contemplative side of things. How many security professionals, or cybersecurity professionals, take time for themselves to actually even breathe in between doing something or have this kind of mindful approach to things? One of your guests was talking about taking that time out for people and going for a walk or take that meditative time. That's important. And there's not enough of that happening. It doesn't mean that someone has to take up a whole idea of meditation and prayer and going overboard, but understanding their interconnection and their place in the world and their connection from themselves, and realizing that it's not just about the data, it's about them, and they can make the decision. Now, I want to go to perhaps an example many years ago in the intelligence world where we were so close to having nuclear Armageddon that the person that was receiving the signal decided something was wrong, right, and didn't want to make the decision. This is when the Russian satellites were up. They didn't want to make the, and it was given the wrong data. And he sat there, and think about this as a cyber professional who's getting all this data and it doesn't add up. There's something that feels it's not right inside of them. They can't do that unless they connect with themselves. And that might mean changing their lifestyle a little bit, right? Now, that person that received that signal was like, this is not right. This is, and lo and behold, they identified it was a reflection from the satellite that gave the wrong signal, and it could have actually sparked a nuclear holocaust. But he had the connection inside to understand that the signal and the noise was different. And then he was able to discern and then bring the logic and the intuition together, make the decision, and we didn't have a nuclear war. So bringing that back to the cyber professional, that's exactly where they need to go. They need to get connected with themselves. And I think you're right. There needs to be less focus continually on what is there in the data and more focus also on themselves. Because you also mentioned in one of your podcasts that cyber professionals are constantly on the go. It's high decisions. It's high stress. And here's the other thing. In that stress, if we talk about people maybe in meditative, mindful practices, even if we look at some of the Stargate program where they utilized intuitive concepts, psychic ability to get information on targets, part of that was in a nice quiet area, getting into a calm perspective. We need to learn to be able to utilize our intuition in the moment and be able to very quickly discern between that signal and noise in a high stakes environment. That comes with experience, because pattern recognition is experience. What we learn, all of our experiences put together, and then able to work with the logic and work with the intuitive processing, bring it together, it's powerful. Then we don't just rely on the data. We can actually uncover what is unseen. And when we uncover what is unseen, that might make the difference between success and failure.
Yeah, you make some good points there about people having to step away, you know, this whole mindfulness piece. And I think that we were pretty good at that during COVID, as I remember it, from the inner cyberspace. Everybody was glued to a screen, and the focus was there about trying to encourage people to just step away from it and go walk the dog or do whatever it was, meditate. And we seem to have lost all of that again, because we've returned to a sort of business as usual. We can argue about whether or not it is the same, but we've gone back into what I would see as being quite bad habits. And in the cyber world, we have to be able to really step up in high pressure situations, such as perhaps a ransomware incident response. And the inclination for the security professional is always to stick with that, to continually try to noodle through the problem. I'm going to fix it. And the management skill is in getting people to step away from that, to building some breathing space. How can people do that?
They're constantly loaded. They're constantly, I've got to fix it. I've got to fix it. I've got to fix it. There's a time issue there. I hate time. And there's a time issue there. They think they have to. There's a ransomware. They have to do it now. It must be done. So then they rely on the data. They can make mistakes. They can make wrong judgments, wrong decisions, because they're forced into something that they think they have to get done. Does it really matter if they're seconds apart? Really, they've got to try and understand that if they took time away and even took that breathing for 3 seconds, 5 seconds, just to take away, maybe something will come into their perception like, oh, what if I do this? What if I change this tactic? What if I come at it from a different angle? So you've got to really tell them that it's more of a superpower for you to take time for yourself, even to step away. Because if you step away, you might even get a better result. You may be the difference between your client's success, stopping the ransomware, or having a whole operation come out on top just because you've taken time. At the end of the day, any operative that's in the military or in close protection or anything else, you still have to take time. We still have to plan. And the intelligence cycle, you're planning. Mm-hmm. There's no plan here because in their own mind, I've got to get it done. I've got to get it done. I've got to save them. I've got to save them. Who says that? Who says they can't take 3 seconds away? So you need to get them to accept that they can and that this is a superpower. An analogy is maybe you and I are standing in front of a tree and we're looking at a tree. You see the tree different to me. But if I stand further away, I see a bigger picture. A bigger picture gives me more of a pattern. Then maybe my intuition and my logic starts to join and I can make that decision. So maybe we need to actually teach our cyber professionals. It's actually a superpower for you to step back, see the bigger picture, because maybe there'll be signal in there that's separate from the logic that will give you the answers that you need instead of focus, focus, and constantly having this, I've got to get it done. I've got to get it done. It's got to pass. I've got seconds. I've got seconds. You don't. Because that ransomware, whether it's done in 10 minutes or whether it's done in 15 minutes, you're still going to deal with it. Take time. Step back. Start to see the bigger picture. The problem is, in the cyber world, we're participants.
Right.
Why don't we become observers? Because when we become observers, we can see everything. We can witness the pattern. It's the observer effect. And we can discern the signal from the noise. Whereas when we're totally participants, we're only dealing with the noise.
No, that's absolutely right. And I think it's a really important point that you make and something that people just need to constantly remind themselves of. I want to move on to more sort of cognitive security if I can. So we're seeing a rise in deepfakes, obviously, and AI-driven misinformation. And I want you to call on here your experience in mediumship. I know you didn't want to talk about that just at the beginning. But I'm interested. I'm going to push you on this one because I'm really interested in hearing your answer. So from your experience, distinguish between authentic signals and noise, as we've been talking about, what advice do you have for verifying truth in an era of what is digital illusion?
Wow.
Because this is a real challenge for people.
It is. Okay. All right. Maybe I can give you an analogy of maybe a case that I was involved in. I work with lawyers. I was involved in a case recently where, I've got to be careful what I say, but where a certain individual was in for a criminal conviction and could have gone down for life. And obviously they can't bring psychics, they can't bring mediums in and anything like this. So when I work with a lawyer, I'm working in what I call applied strategic intuitive intelligence. Mm-hmm. Again, discerning between the signal and noise, utilizing the intelligence cycle. And so the information that I get sent, whether it be a video, whether it be an audio or something, then what I have to do is to forget what is there, what their perceptions are, forget what is the logic, right? This evidence shows that they are 100% guilty.
Right.
So I take a step back and I maybe meditate, maybe I go into an altered state and I wait and I get impressions, I get signal. The signal tells me of something that's hidden. I write my report. I give them something that's hidden that they haven't thought about. They brought in a psychologist. The psychologist corroborated what I had said because it was a missing element, doesn't go down for life. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that we need to look at. So deep fakes and everything else, start to trust yourself and not the AI. And that comes with experience, Steve. That comes with that cyber professional needs to have a little bit of a spiritual foundation. So taking some time for themselves, meditating. And I want to say that anybody who's listening there, guys, you don't need to meditate, sitting quiet, music on, listening to a guided meditation. You can do it when you're out walking the dog. You can do it, not when you're driving, obviously, but you can do it in the shower. So many ways to do it. Just to be quiet, go within yourself, sitting in the garden. There's so many ways to do it. If you start doing that a small amount and build it up and build it up, even reading, something that just changes your cognitive load or allows you to get into a relaxed state, then you're able to start picking up the signals. You're able to start picking up the things that are not there. And then maybe when you look at something online with these, it's a terrifying thing, deep fakes in this AI here. But yeah. I can most of the time identify just through my own intuition. And in the intelligence world and what we're moving in, the world is getting more dangerous. Absolutely. Yeah. And so maybe we need to start relying more on our intuition. You know, it's why I wrote my very first book, Powers of the Sixth Sense. This is why we need to rely on our intuition to keep us safe in a hostile world, because the world's getting more hostile. And the more the AI is becoming problematical, it's got its benefits, but it's becoming problematical because of deep fakes. We need to start feeling inside what's wrong. And that's how where I'll use my mediumship. I won't connect with spirit guides or people in the spirit side. I'm going to utilize that ability to give me the right signal and then learn to discern. That's what people need to learn to discern. Mm-hmm. Discernment, even as a cyber professional, is important. So discernment of the self, discernment of the mind, that's important. That's even more important.
And of course, it isn't just the cyber professional that needs to be aware of deepfakes and misinformation, no. Because we're all impacted by it. And so what you've just been saying, I think, is equally applicable to anybody who's listening to this, whether or not they happen to be operating in the security space or doing whatever they do when they listen to my podcast. And quite a few people have come up with quite extraordinary situations where they do listen to me. And indeed, now listen to you, Jock, as well. Jock, it's been fantastic talking to you. I'm very conscious that we've only just scratched the surface, but I think we've covered a lot of interesting areas there. And hopefully people are going to be able to take away some very real to-dos from that in terms of being able to step back, draw breath, maybe help avoid burnout in some instances and protect themselves more and more in the online world. So, Jock, been fantastic talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Steve. Enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more expert insights and thought-provoking discussions. But in the meantime, if you really enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to rate, review, and share the podcast. If you're interested in becoming an ISEV member or continuing the conversation further, please do get in touch with me at steve.durbin@securityforum.org. Or indeed, get hold of me on LinkedIn. And remember, you can explore all our media and resources at our website, securityforum.org.